thank you for subscribing to Podcast One Premium. He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen, and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
Happy Thursday, everybody. All right. Big day. Got a busy day. So we're sitting in Portland, Oregon right now. Going to do this show, then Joel and I are jumping on a plane, going to Connecticut, where I will meet up with my buddy Brian. We will go over to Bears Barbecue in Hartford, 8 p.m. start time, and Brian and I are going to take on the bear in an eating competition. We are going to bring equipment with us, record and document this live. It will be a podcast. This goes down at 8 p.m. Let's say we're done by 10 p.m. after we socialize. That will give us about 2 hours to turn this around and drop this. We want this contest with Bear to drop at midnight. The show can't come out till Friday, so we want it to drop at midnight so that it is as fresh as can be. I'm not promising the show at midnight because we've got a little turnaround time there with the equipment. I'm going to get it out to you guys as quickly as you can. So today, essentially, we are doing two podcasts and trying to beat the bear. Joel, you were telling me a story about somebody. Is his name Grayson or Gray?
Grayson Allen.
Grayson Allen. What? Tell the story that you were just telling me. What in the hell happened with this guy? This is a basketball player at Duke.
Grayson Allen is a junior with the Duke basketball team. And last year, the ratings were he could have went in the first round of the NBA. He chose to come back because he said his education is important and he wants to play more point guard. He wants to get better. Okay, you'll find that with Duke. You'll find that with their players. They tend to stay longer. They go to the University of Kentucky. Most of them are one and done if they can go to the pros. But the Duke player will stay longer. Now, Grayson Allen, last week when Duke was playing, I believe it was Elon. He tripped somebody. He was on the floor and he tripped one of the Elon players. It's the third time in the last 10 months he's done it, including in the NCAAs last year. Okay. Now, for basketball, if we were to equate this to wrestling, if we were to equate, that's not even.
You want me to understand. You're trying to get me to understand.
I'm trying to get you to understand.
I'm with you.
It is a horrible thing to do. It is an absolute horrible thing to do. It's low rent. It's one of the worst things you can do in basketball. But it's still only a foul. It's one foul. It may be a technical. You're not going to get kicked out of the game. Now, he's done this three times. The media has caught three times in 10 months. The media has caught fire, and Duke has now suspended him indefinitely. I think it's a scumbag move.
By him or Duke? You think the trip's a scumbag move?
The trip's a scumbag move.
Okay.
It is a scumbag move.
But was that what you were referring to, or are you talking about Duke's?
No, here, let me finish. The trip's a scumbag move, but at the end of the day, it's just a foul. Why are you suspending this kid if he didn't even get kicked out of the game? And he's done it two other times. The media has suspended him. The media is suspended him.
All right, so I think to answer my question, you were calling Duke the scumbag here. Listen, all I know about it is what you just said. In fact, when you told me about this before we just did it on the, you told me less than that. So right now, I'm going to weigh in with an opinion, but I must disclose that I have the right to change my opinion should I be confronted with new evidence, because this is all that I know. But Joel, I'll tell you this. Okay, you compared it to wrestling. Let me ask you if this is a fair analogy. Let's compare it to NASCAR, where a car bumps another car, but they do it on purpose.
No, way worse than that.
The trip is way worse?
Yeah, the trip's way worse.
Okay, because here's where you're losing me. I know what a trip is, and a trip is that's where you hit a guy's feet. Are you saying he's coming out, he's kicking a guy's feet out like a little kid would do?
Absolutely.
Okay, he's sending them down. All right, fine. I want to drink to your point. Your point was, it is a foul. And anytime you have, and again, I've had 5 seconds that you just said this, but here's right where my mind went. Anytime you have an officiating or a governing body, and they make a decision, that is the decision. And sometimes you're going to like it, and sometimes you're not. You're going to go, man, that was too excessive, or that wasn't as... But when they make their decision and that gavel comes down, that is the end of it. So that is the referee of the game that's where the foul took place, in this case a trip. It is the referee who has the final say whether he's kicked out, whether he's a foul. Does the referee have the authority to suspend him or throw him from the game? I know he does from the game. I don't think he has the authority to suspend him, but he could do something and send that to the NCAA. But that is how the process would go. For the school to step in and make a call after the referee did, bypassing not only the league, the conference, as they call it in college, but the NCAA itself, man, I don't like that. I think that's a bad look. And I hear what you're saying, that the media pressured him into it, but just welcome to society. That happens all over the place, so don't attempt to tackle that argument. Everything is a PR mess. You sit back, you see how the PR goes, and then you make your decisions. My problem that I have is there is a protocol in everything, but particularly with the NCAA. There is a protocol, and the protocol for how you handle a trip or a foul is that the referee makes the decision, and he makes it right then. Right then, the referee, he doesn't wait 5 minutes. He doesn't go two plays later. He makes it right then. But whatever he decides, that's it. You don't then get to take it to the conference, to the NCAA, unless the referee requests it, or particularly into the school. So the school punished this kid. I've got a problem with that.
Well,
procedure-wise.
Here's the thing is, man...
Let me ask you this. Here, before you wait on that, here's what I want to ask you. You brought up wrestling, so I'm going to bring up our friend, Matt Lindland. Matt Lindland was the master fouler, and the reason was, is boy, he looked innocent. Oh, man, you looked at Matt's body language and face. He had no idea what they were calling. He was a master at it. So tell me this. Was this ball player... Was he like, ha-ha, tripped another one, or was he out, was he playing it off? Is there any room for, no, man, I'm just playing ball, and I guess I'm tripping, guys. Is there any room for that?
There's so few times that it happens.
Did you see it or just read about it?
No, I saw it.
Okay.
I actually saw when he did it last year, and I'm like, man, that is just such a scumbag thing to do.
It is
just such a scumbag thing to do.
He clearly tripped him. That's what I wanted to know.
Every time. Clearly tripped him.
But what did his body language do? Was he smart enough to act like, what? He fell down. What, huh?
He did a little bit of that, but then he also went to the bench and had a temper tantrum. When his coach, Mike Chris...
Remind me to tell you about a foul that Ben Askren did.
So his coach, famous coach Mike Krzyzewski, because if you try reading that, you'll never say that right. He's on the Dan Patrick Show last week. He was the one that clued me in, and I was like, hey, man, this is the same guy that did this last year. He goes on, and he's like, man, I didn't know. I didn't know that he did that, and I didn't know he was having a temper tantrum on my bench, because if he's doing that, man, he is really, really going through some hard times on this thing. The coach is saying this on the Dan Patrick Show, and I'm like, what are you talking about? He did a scumbag move. He got caught for it, and then he played in the second half. Now you're going to come and have all this ammunition, and you're going to suspend him for 3 games to 2 weeks as a learning experience. It's like, hey, man, either suspend him or don't. Either suspend him or don't. But the point is just to your point, it's only a foul. It's the ref's call. The ref allowed him to stay in the game, allowed him to play in the second half. You know, it's a push out. It's a push out off the mat in wrestling. It's pushing a guy clearly out of bounds, off the mat, and maybe sweeping them.
All right, not good. So, I mean, the analogy you're giving, it's not great, but the referee does make the call right then. Okay, here's what I want to know, because you said something when you were saying Krzyzewski went on the Dan Patrick Show. Did Krzyzewski, as the head coach, make this decision, or did the school? Because that changes my opinion.
No, the coach made it.
Well, that's different than the school. You know, you did say the school. That is different. I thought the AD's office got involved and the school got some bad PR, and they did this to look good, and so they punished their own team, which then had, you know, it all rolls downhill who punished the athlete. If the coach makes the call, fair game, man. If the coach's word is final. I didn't know that. So the coach made the call.
Coach made the call.
Well, then that's final. And now that you've said that, I mean, it actually does change my. I thought this came from the school administration. The coach makes the call. That changes things. And secondly, let's take him at his word. Let's take him at his word that an administrator didn't make him say this and that he really thinks it is a learning experience. If this coach thinks he has an athlete who could go on and play NBA, and this is going to give him a bad reputation, that that he's operating in a gray area, that it could make him look bad, that it could hurt somebody else, and he thinks this is a learning experience, great for the coach. That changes everything.
Man, for a guy to do it three times in a year, I think what's going to happen, and just I believe you're going to find a longer history of Mr. Grayson Allen tripping people to a point where I don't even think he wants to trip him. It's just what he does.
Remember Lambeer? Remember Lambeer in the playoffs? So I can't remember what year it was, but he played for the Bulls.
He played for the Pistons.
And he just falling down left, right, and center, yes, getting all those free throw shots. I mean, we remember him to this day, but he was a master of it. It came back to what I asked you about body language. Is this kid at least acting like, I mean, is he pulling it off? Because those referees were falling for everybody knew, and hey, basketball rules. Guy got bumped. He went down. Boom. Give him his shots.
But it's a hard thing. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen very often. So it's a hard thing to play off. Obviously, he played it off better the first two times that he did it than he did this time. But again, since it doesn't, he's the tripper.
Sure.
He's the tripper, and I think the guy trips people in practice. I think he's been tripping people since he was a little kid.
What's that what based on what? Sense? This is your sense? Kid seems like a tripper? It's like a kid that's a biter, man. If your kid's a biter at five, he's a biter.
Yeah, I think he's a tripper. There's so few trippers.
So I asked you about how they played it off. And you know my favorite part of the Olympics was the Mongolians that did the strip-down protest.
I do.
But I thought they pulled it off. I did not like that the IOC banned them. I realize how inappropriate for sport that was, but I thought they got away with it. So in a wrestling match, since you used that analogy earlier, you know you can't talk to a guy in a wrestling match. You start putting the mouth to him mid-match. I mean, the referee's stepping in. Ben Askren beat anybody in the world in wrestling that's not named Chris Pendleton. He had Chris Pendleton problems. So Ben Askren moves up a weight class, wrestles Chris Pendleton at Sunkist, which, as huge of a tournament it is a little side tournament. No one's there. But I caught this. This was on video, and I caught it. So Ben wants to beat Pendleton. This is the guy he wants to beat. Pendleton's down, and he's crawling forward like he's defending, but he's doing it. The out-of-bounds is right there. He goes forward one more time. He's out-of-bounds. Ben stops what he's doing, stands up, grabs Chris's foot, drags him back by his belly. But as he does it, he says, "Oh, no, you don't, Chris. I'm going to turn you." And pulls him back to the middle to restart his position. Because he did it in such a charming and funny way, and everybody, half the people laughed and half the people sat there in shock because it was so awesome, referee just let it go. So there is something to how you present it. It's not always what you do. It's also how you present it, which is why I defend the Mongolians. I argue that was the greatest spot of the Olympic Games, and I stand by it.
Well, to the Askren thing, it's also Ben Askren. You know, it's not a guy wrestling for 7th and 8th.
That's a fair point. I mean, this was the fight, and that is Pendleton. A lot riding on that match.
All right, so where are we at with this Vader thing? I've been inundated with texts about he went on some show, or I have a hard time thinking that. I thought we finished it. I thought we finished it. I thought we paid him a great amount of respect, and I thought we put an end to that. So where are we at with this?
All right, so Vader went. He did an interview with somebody. I saw it through Cage Potato. I don't know where it came from. I assumed they did it because that's where I saw it, but I guess they could have just grabbed it from somebody else. Let's play it. Jacob, do you have the Vader thing where Vader cuts a promo on me? Play it.
Now, does he threaten to beat you up?
I had never heard of this guy. I mean, I've been in the business for, 40-some-odd years now, and I've done podcasts. I mean, I've done Stone Cold's podcast and JR's podcast and Vince Russo's and so on and so on and so on. And obviously, I'm doing this interview now, so I'm open to interviews, but it's not like I didn't want to go on his show. But he called me up, and it was like, hey, I'm so-and-so. And yeah, I mean, who are you? I had no idea who this guy was. Not a clue. I'd never heard of him, and maybe I should apologize that, because according to him, he's a big deal. And I couldn't even tell you what state he's from. It's, you know, not only are you talking out of school, but you're a liar. So I'm calling you a liar.
And he made some accusations that possibly you were writing to him while intoxicated.
You know what? First of all, I haven't drank in 15 years. I quit drinking 15 years ago. I mean, I'm a big man, and yes, I could drink a lot when I drank, but it's been 15 years. That of all the things he called me, that's the one thing that bothers me. And if I'm tired at times because of the 100-plus concussions I've received
And you do have memory issues, as we can see now, and I've actually spent some time with you, and I've noticed the memory issues.
Well, you know, hey, if you notice that, that's what it is. But, you know, I started playing football when I was 8 years old, and I remember getting concussions when I was 10 and 12 and 14 and 15, and then going into junior high and high school and college and professional football. And you think of all those concussions right there, would be more than enough would be 10 times too many concussions for a lifetime. But then, you know, add on 30 plus years of wrestling and all the chair shots and all the head shots. And so, you know, I think that if he's saying that I slur my words, and at time when I get tired, I do, and I have to enunciate better. And usually when I'm talking to someone on the phone, maybe I was tired, maybe it was late.
No, one of the things he actually said was, even though he fought in the 206-pound weight class, was the only reason he can't kick your ass is because you're a dinosaur.
You know what? It's no secret. I'm having some health problems. But you know what? I'll leave it at that. And I'm 61 years old. I'm 6'4", barefoot. I'm 365 pounds. I can still bench press over 450. And if this kid, this little boy, and you know what? I would actually go a step further and say I will break a long-standing rule, and that I've had, that I don't pick on little people.
And he called you a dinosaur. He might see the Tyrannosaurus Rex firsthand.
Well, I don't know. You know, maybe a dinosaur is appropriate, but some of the other things, dumb. I mean, I may slur my words from time, again, from the concussions and all the hits to the head, but, you know, I've got a degree from the 16th-ranked business school in the country, University of Colorado. But if this guy wants to come to Boulder, Colorado, I have a ring, and we can get in it and see if he can beat me up. Because, you know what, I would shove his head so far up his, you know what, and send him back home, that little boy would get spanked. I turn him over my knee and spank him, and that's the bottom line. So, Kel, you heard me. Come on down to Boulder. It's 7,000 feet. You'll enjoy the altitude.
Hey, listen. Let me give you my reaction. I concede to Vader. He can have the win. Secondly, I thought he was a great guest when he came on the show. So I don't know where our heat came from post-show. I thought Vader was a ton of fun. You know, if you remember that show, we were mad that we had to get with him. I thought he was dropping insight, knowledge. He was bringing up a lot of the old days, which is more fun for me than current. I kind of like the history and the times that he span over. He was even talking about stuff going on in New Japan with Saki Ibarra and Inoki. I thought Vader was fun, and I also don't think that interview is fairly categorized, because if you listen to him, and you and I were able to watch that. That was on YouTube for the listeners. We played the audio, but you and I were watching his body language. I thought he seemed jovial and fun. I thought the reporter tried to goad him a little bit, and if you only heard his words, maybe you'd think he was being a jerk. I didn't take it that way, and I'll leave you with this final thought. He responded the way he should respond. The reporter said to him that I said something about the 206-pound weight class, which isn't even a weight class, 206 pounds. No idea what he's talking about there. And that I had challenged Vader. So Vader thought he was responding to me trash-talking him, which was just never said. The only time we gave Vader a hard time is when he was supposed to call in and didn't. We had to talk about him instead of talk to him. I got no problem with what Vader did.
I'm good with it, too. I wasn't that interested ever on this thing. I know what you did immediately, and I was like, oh, God. And then it bit you. And then this is the longest. It will be a long time before anything gets this much run. And it's had a ton of run. I listened to the interview you had with him, and at the end of it, I was like, you know what? This is a guy on the other side of his career trying to sum up, you know, a life. I mean, it's a real person. And, you know, I felt sorry for him just in terms of we all have that. When we're closer to the end than we are to the beginning and we're trying to sort things out and we have health. And that's how I looked at it. I had a huge response on, hey, Vader. And I was like, man, I just want to be done with it. And that's where I'm at on this.
Yeah, and I didn't necessarily want to be. I kind of got a kick out of it. But then again, I'm an old wrestling fan, and he was from the time that I really liked it. I thought it was a thrill having him on. You know, we had Ric Flair on. We had some of these guys that you popped a little bit more for. I had a thrill with Vader. I thought he was a great guest. And as far as insulting him and calling him drunk, and he says he didn't drink, well, he would know, not me. So take Vader's word for it. Vader says he wasn't, then I'm the one that's out of line here.
Yeah, but did we ever even say he was drunk?
You know, I can't remember, but
After the interview.
It seems like something
itself.
I would say. That part I can't say.
When he no-showed you.
Well, but you have to understand this. I had never spoke to Vader in my life. It was all in writing by text message, which is why I was angry, is because he was saying, well, I didn't understand. I didn't know it was a podcast. I didn't know what time. I didn't know when to call in. You never told me these things. It's like, Vader, not only did I tell you, I told you in writing, and I've still got it. I can prove it. That's where I was a little angry. I'm going, man, what is this guy drinking or something? But that's speculation. If he says he wasn't drinking and he says that bothers him that I said it, well, then I apologize. He's the only one that would know. It's not my place to say whether he says he wasn't drinking, that he wasn't drinking. And if he says he's not feeling well, then I hope he feels better, man. That's the end of it. That's the end of it with Vader. As far as I go with Vader, man, I thought he was a cool guy, and I don't think that it's fair what happened to him there because that reporter teed him up, fed him a false question, something I didn't say. And Vader responded. So that's it. I'm good. Now, listen, as you know, every guest gets a gift package. We send him something from one of our sponsors. But now, because I hear that interview and he says he's not feeling well, I'm going to send him some Boll & Branch. I'll tell everybody else right now, getting a great night's sleep is easier and more affordable than you might think. You don't need new expensive mattresses or sleeping pills. You just need to change your sheets. That's why you should check out Boll & Branch, and that's why I'm sending it to Vader. Everything Boll & Branch makes, from bedding to blankets, is made from 100% organic cotton, which means they start out super soft and they get even softer over time. You buy directly from them, so you're essentially paying wholesale prices. Luxury sheets can cost up to $1,000 in the store. But Boll & Branch sheets are only a couple hundred bucks. Everyone who tries Boll & Branch sheets loves them. That's why they have thousands of 5-stars reviews, and Forbes, the Wall Street Journal, and the Fast Company are all talking about Boll & Branch. 3 former U.S. presidents sleep on Boll & Branch sheets. Guys, they're that good. Shipping is free, and you can even try them out for 30 nights. If you don't love them, send them back for a refund. But I doubt you'll ever want to send these back. There is no risk and no reason not to give them a try. Go get started right now. For my listeners only, you can get $50 off of your first set of sheets at BollAndBranch.com by using the promo code PODCAST1. Save $50 right now off of your first set of sheets at BollAndBranch.com. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com. Use the promo code PODCAST1.
Hey, everybody, it's Shaq. Have you had a chance to check out the number one podcast on Podcast One? That's right, The Big Podcast with Shaq. Me and my co-hosts, John Kincaid and Rob Jenners, we have a blast. With way more than just sports, we have the biggest guests from entertainment to the NBA. I promise you've never, ever heard a show like this. The Big Podcast with Shaq, with a new episode every Monday at PodcastOne.com.
You're welcome. You're welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Okay, here's the deal. I think there's something on Vader. I mean, sometimes I feel like you don't know what we're doing down here. I mean, don't forget, this is a rating-based show that has numbers. To stay at number one, I mean, look, Joel, here's the thing that, in fairness, you are missing. Vader's a big deal, whether he is to you or not. He's a big deal.
Okay, so here's the deal. I agree with you 100% that this needs to be a more fan-based show. I've been getting blown up by this gentleman named Joshua Dickens about this thing for 3 weeks. I say, and what I've said, is let's have him on, and he's going to call in right now.
Fine, have him on. So here's my thing is you're going to message him? All right, message Josh. We're waiting for Josh. Here's my thing, though. I mean, I'll just make this point real simple. The Vader thing has legs. When he stood us up, we had to rough him up. There was no way around that. We'd rather have a show talking to him. Instead, we had to talk about him. And when somebody does that, you don't cover for them. You shoot on them. And I said how I really felt. I had a text message exchange with him. I thought I was right on that. Whether I was or wasn't, the platform was open for Vader to come on and respond. Eventually, we got to it. He did. Turned out, he was a great guest that was confused about this, that, or the other, or just flat flaked on us. Whatever it was water under the bridge. And I think he got, okay, here's your caller, Josh. Connect
him. All right,
so
Joshua Dickens from Texas is our first fan calling. Joshua, man, rip it. Kill it.
Godfather Chael, I'm not going to waste time kissing the ring because y'all already know I think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Here's my take on Vader. Vader was on your podcast and had every opportunity, baby, to be straight up and down. And he wasn't. He made you think everything was cool, made you think it was water under the bridge. We knew he was being paid to be there, so he has to be nice, blah, blah, blah. But then you look over here and he's sneezing into the dirt sheets up under the rock, talking that mad trash, man. And that's not cool. Vader is, he's getting a little old and he's getting a little fat. That mask is probably a little bit tight. And he's botched a couple of moonsaults. You know he has because I've seen them. They're ugly. And I think he just doesn't know what he's saying to who. But he made the mistake of saying that at any point he can lift JLP Sonnen because he can bench X amount of weight. And I'm here to tell you, Brother Vader, Chael would be picking pieces of your face out of his knuckles for the next couple of years. So I just wouldn't go down that road if I were you, unless you want to be put on your prissy little big ass.
That's beautiful. That was smack Jim Rome smack off quality right there by Josh.
In the middle of the day too. I just sent him a message, "Hey, you want to come on the show?" And he just cut it like that. Beautiful. No, I was talking to Chael about what's this Sting thing you were talking about? We can get Sting. What is this? Chael says he's in. If you get that
connection.
Sting number, we're in.
Okay, I have a loose connection, and I can grease a little palm and probably get it for you, probably at the drop of a hat, so you just let me know.
Hey, we'll let you know right now, man. If you can get Sting on, we'd love to have. I'm sorry that you called on here and Joel interrupted you constantly. He does that to me, and he can see my mouth moving. He is so zoned out right now on his phone doing God knows what. It's unbelievable down here, Joshua. I wish you were here, man. That was as good as a scripted promo. I know that was off the top of your head. The listeners are going to think that wasn't because that came off so clean and clear. But we just texted you 2 seconds before you on. Great work, my man.
Great job, Josh.
Maybe I learned from the best. I've been listening to you for years, man.
Josh, we will be in touch. You're gonna be back. Thank you, pal.
Thank you, sir.
Kaboom. Hey, I liked it. And I like that he called us baby. I thought it added to it. I tell you what, baby.
Baby always works.
Baby always. What were you doing on your phone? How do you do that, though, in fairness? I mean, this is your guy. I haven't met Josh. I haven't talked to Josh. He was great. Josh was great. This isn't about Josh. But we're partway through a Josh interview who you know, who you contacted. I look down. You're playing on your phone while he's on the line. He's your guy. You gotta be. You're playing on your phone right now, man.
You know, here's the problem, idiot. Is I've got the only fucking thing that pays me any money is that little car lot, and they're blowing my phone up. Okay, and I got an idiot over there. I've got an idiot over there that I told 15 times I can't talk while I'm at the show, and he's blowing my phone up. Okay, he's blowing my goddamn phone up. So what would you like me to do? Smash my phone, which is what I feel like doing. Dance for you. You want me to dance for you?
But
yeah, I'm on the phone.
Ever, okay,
I'm
but not. here's the thing. Your job and your dealership is the trump card. When you say works calling, that wins. You beat me when you say that. Here's my push. If that were true, you'd win this. Here's the problem. You say the phone's ringing. I don't hear it. I don't see you answer it. You can't answer it while we're in here. So what is the point? Why do you have that? And then you zone out. We got Josh on the line cutting a promo, dropping babies, calling you the gov. I mean, he did good work. That was really good. That was like he had that written down. And I mean, I literally thought that was Jim Rome quality smack off stuff. I did. I think that guy's got potential. But the bottom line is he's your guest. You lined him up. He lays out. He's not talking anymore. You need to come in on the back side of that. Tell him, hey, good job. We'll be in touch. I'll tell whatever your relationship. Is he going to the eat off? I don't know how you know him. So, but you've got to do instead. You're playing on the phone. Then when I call you on it. I know we should be doing this privately, but I mean, you're doing it here in the studio, so we'll make a show out of it. When you're playing on the phone and you pull the trump card, that it's work. That always wins with me. I think with anybody. The phone wasn't ringing. You're on the internet on like bloodyelbow.com. I couldn't see the past, but I could see that was an internet app. So that means you're not telling the truth. It wasn't work calling.
No,
it was something with the internet app.
Here is what you don't understand. In this world, there is something called Facebook. Okay, it's amazing what Facebook
and that's
will
how
do.
The dealership okay? contacts you is through Facebook.
So this cat right here running back is all Facebook stuff through this form called Messenger. So that's what I was looking at.
But you just said it was work, and I basically said that you were lying. And now you're admitting it was Facebook. So are you conceding that you zoned out?
No, absolutely not. I got two calls from the dealership.
So was it work or was it Facebook, man?
I got two calls from the dealership. One from a customer that, hey, listen, the customer's calling.
Okay, but you just said Facebook. You just said Facebook.
That's because you brought up another thing. While Joshua was on the phone, I was at his Facebook lead, and there is a website right there is what you were thinking. Okay, so you did dip into that, and you were correct. But the reality is my phone's blown up right now. Here's a customer that owes me money. Let's go ahead and talk to him. What's up, brother?
Hello?
What's up?
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Okay. You know what? I'm in the middle of a podcast, so you're on a nationwide podcast. What's going on, bud? What can I do for you?
I'm actually trying to bring you your money. I didn't want to leave it with somebody that I didn't particularly know because.
Okay. Yes, you can leave it. You can leave it with Daryl. Is that why Daryl's calling me? Yes, you can leave it with Daryl.
Okay, I'll be back over there and drop your money off.
All right. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right.
You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you.
So there we go. Daryl's dumbass called me three times because that guy. Wouldn't leave him money. There is where you're at when you fall into the bottom of the car lot world and you're slinging cheap metal in the ghetto. Does that make you happy? Does that make you happy?
Well, it makes me want to change topics. Have you heard of something called customer service? Do you talk to all customers like that?
Man, you've got me hot, bro. I'm fucking hot right now. Okay? You think this is a motherfucking game that I'm playing up here? You think this is a motherfucking game? The same motherfucker that everybody fucking danced to when this thing started. You want to make that guy the buffoon, motherfucker? You want to talk about front, middle, and end? Here's the front. Pat, loan me 60 grand. B, I bought you motherfuckers a place to train. C, I went out of business. Now you want to fucking make me the buffoon? Go ahead, motherfucker. Make me the buffoon. But this is real life shit going on right here. This ain't no fucking promo. The only fucking job I got is that shit lot fucking car lot, and you want to spin me up? Well, guess what? You spun me the fuck up. Good job. Now let's talk about my manners. Let's talk about my buffoonism. Let's talk about all these motherfuckers with my goddamn name in their fucking mouth. Listen. Pick up the fucking phone, ask Chael what my number is, and fucking call me. If you call me out to dance, then you gotta come see me. If I call you out to dance, then I gotta come see you.
Baby.
Fuck, that's irritating. You know? You think it's a fucking joke. You think spinning this thing's a fucking joke, man? This is my goddamn life.
Baby.
God, I hate the car business. Fuck, I hate the car business. The fact that I could tell somebody 15 times, you cannot contact me, and the dumbass contacts me 15 times while I'm up here. Yeah, man. You got me dancing. Good for you. Good for you, Chael P. God damn.
Call me baby. It adds to the promo when I hear baby.
You know, baby is, you know, when we were in the joint, I'll pull this to a joint story, is everybody was baby. And it came from Nikki baby, and then it went to Jolie baby, and then we just put baby on the end of everything.
Do you remember when you went crazy just now, a minute ago? Do you want to apologize for that, or just
to
blow
who?
Right
to
past
who?
It.
I'm going to apologize to you?
Well, you're looking up customer service. Could you Google another term for me called bipolar? Just see if it relates or corresponds to any behaviors that you might find with yourself.
Okay. Okay. Will you look up a term for me while I'm looking up that one?
What would that be?
Dipshit.
When Ben Askren pulled Chris Pendleton back onto the mat, it would have added to it had he called him baby.
It would have.
I'm going to turn you baby.
It would have. You know, that's a real thing, bipolar. I don't know if that's funny.
I don't feel that I was teasing it as much as perhaps we've identified something.
Okay, so now you have a raving lunatic on your show that we like to call a buffoon. But he's only a buffoon when he runs out of motherfucking money.
Isn't part of being a buffoon the character and...
No, man, you could have spun it. You could have spun it any other way. We got this thing blowing up.
But is it fair to say that your participation is because you have buffoonery?
We ran this thing for a long time. It
infuriates you. I mean,
You didn't have to run that way.
And now it's almost like we're acting that didn't just happen 10 seconds ago, which might be as bizarre as it happened. And he's back on his foot. Guys, I swear on everything, he is back. He is back on his phone. All right, listen. He's on his phone. I swear he's back on his... All right, listen. Are you calmed down? What do we do now? Do we just exit? And what do we do? You and I, what do we do when the fans are gone? Do we act like that didn't happen, or do we need to have speaks on this?
What are you doing here, brother?
I'm going to wrap the show. I'm just wondering if when this is wrapped, is this like a handshake at the end of a match where we walk away and this is forgotten, or is there more to this?
No, bro, we're going to keep circling back into this shit, okay? We're going to see, as long as these guys are listening to it, and the only reason I'm on this show, fellas, is because you love it, or you hate it. It's the only reason. I'm not on here because the numbers are going down.
You're not on here because you're good at it.
See, there you go. You want to act like, where do we go from here? Well, you know exactly where we go from here. I'm going to slug you as soon as...
Hey, it's kind of starting to feel that way, quite frankly. That's really why I brought this up. Like, is there something coming, or do you have some sportsmanship? All right, look, here's what we do have to, on a serious note, here's what we do have to, but here, listen, man, I'm going to say this, and I've said it a few times, but Joel, you do have to get, you, man, there's some buffoonery to you, and I'm not saying that as an insult as much as just a guy that knows you. I personally think that you're a character. I personally feel that you should be on something, but you need to be you. I don't think that you should stumble in and act like you're a guy that's wearing a suit. You should act like you are what you are. You're a guy wearing new tennis shoes. Very nice, by the way. Are those Christmas tennis shoes? New tennis shoes, two socks that don't match, sweatpants, an unmatching sweatshirt with two different stains on it that I can see from here. And I'm not insulting you. I'm just saying I think that's the guy you need to be. So I try to bring that to life for our listeners because we don't have cameras here. This is an audio show. I've got to create a visual for everybody, right? Some people think we're in some nice studio on the top floor with a view. They don't understand that we're in a little tiny room that we get jammed into and they come knock on our door and kick us out of here even though we're the hottest show that they've got. People don't understand that. I've got to paint this picture for them. I bring you in. You're a ton of fun. None of this is meant to be an insult. This is as much as a reality check. Listen, man, you've got some buffoonery to you. It's very hard to market or monetize buffoonery, but boy, we found a way. When you come to me and act like I'm some kind of low-hanging fruit that's being a dick by pointing out your buffoonery, it's like, no, Joel, you're actually, this is the charm. I go, this is your character. This is the charm of why it works. My cousin Brent called it Abbott and Costello. I mean, there's something to this. And yes, working you up in fair is part of, that's true. I do try to poke you at times. Man, you just went over the top. I don't know if the listeners could hear what you said, and we got $1 million headset down here. You went nuts, but then, I mean, you went red hot, and then you went ice cold like it never happened. I think perhaps that's concerning. You can't, running around and shouting at folks is one thing. Shouting at folks and then just rolling into something else like it didn't happen. I think perhaps that's concerning.
Okay. Again, man. See, you wouldn't see. God, I take some knocks here, man. I take some knocks. Yeah, I flipped out because you're a fucking punk.
Oh, did you flip out?
For doing that buffoonery. And now you want to bring this shit into it?
Okay, come on, man.
Here's the thing. You could have run this any way you want. Hey, man, that's my guy. That's my ace deuce. You want to do the buffoonery because four numbers
it's
in
marketable.
Because four numbers in a fucking cowboy hat told you it was. And maybe three letters and a fucking idiot was on your phone saying, hey, you got to pull him off. So I don't really, you know, I'm not going to dance to your fucking tune. Okay. You're not. So we're going to have to make some of this work. Or we're not. It doesn't fucking matter. Okay? I'm hot. I'm pissed off. We're doing a show. You want to bring bipolar into it? All right, you can do that too. You want to make this a fucking joke? It's not a joke. You want to spin me up like a fucking top and I'm going to sit here and finish the show? I'll finish the goddamn show. Okay? But let's not act like I'm not pissed off, brother. I am. I'm pissed off.
Baby.
This is real. Okay? This is right back to where I was hot before. But I'm gonna lay back. I'm gonna get through it. We're gonna get on a plane. You know, the monkeys hear this. That some dude's gonna see if he can press the Godfather's buttons at Bears and see if I go ape shit. Well, guess what, fella? There's a good chance I will.
Baby, you just might. I'm all done with the show. I want to kill 30 seconds to see if you go back to being calm and collected. I do want you to know on the upfront, because sometimes you do bury me for bringing out the buffoon, as you call it. I want to disclose to you that's
as I call it. I came in here and said, hey, let's start calling me a buffoon.
It's not.
Yeah, I'm going to do that.
What I want.
I'm going to do that.
Disclose.
Yeah.
To you.
Buffoon. That's funny. Hey, let's make fun of Joel. Why doesn't anybody fucking call me? Why doesn't anybody knock on my door and say, hey, buffoon, you want to dance? Because they know the buffoon will dance.
Okay, here's what you do. Guys, do this right now. Just go get yourself the app, TrueCar. Most of you are listening to this show on a smartphone right now. It doesn't matter what model you've got. It's got a search engine. Type in TrueCar. download the app. Whenever you're looking for a car, and it doesn't matter if it's new or if it's just new to you, when you're looking for a car, you can now add transparency for the first time to the car buying world. Type in the kind of car you want. Build it virtually. Year, make, model, year, color. Put in your zip code. It will show you what people in your area paid for that exact same car. You take that down to any True Car certified dealership. And guys, there's over 11,000 of them in this country. Very easy to find. They will honor the price. They will honor that price. I love that it saves most people almost $4,000 off the MSRP. I love equally as much that it saves you time. I've spent my... Could you imagine going to a car lot and having to spend your weekend with Joel? It could be Joel down there. He could break bad on you, start screaming, sweating, turn bright red, and then just act like it never happened. Or you get yourself the True Car app.
All right, I got a plane to catch, man. I don't even know what to... Here, I want to finish this statement. I just want you to know, in sportsmanship, it's not going to change. The buffoonery, that is the charm, man. So, yeah, if I'm poking the bear, whatever. Guys, we'll see you at Bears tonight. We're going to be recording. We got another... I got to hang out. Man, I got to go on a five-hour flight with this maniac. I don't even know what TSA is going to do. Look... We are headed to Bears right now. I'm meeting my partner, Brian. We got some food to eat. 10 minutes. Trina Gerlach is putting up $50 per pound going to Hire Heroes. She started a little something there. So are a lot of other people. We're going to raise some money tonight. We are going into the Bears kitchen in front of the Bears people in the Bears hometown, and we are going to take on the Bear. We will see you guys tonight. Hartford, Connecticut, 8 p.m., no cover charge. And until tomorrow, which in truth, Joel, is about eight, we're about 8 hours. We're about 8 hours away from getting it on with the Bear. That's with the time change. So I guess 11 hours. The bottom line is, I am Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Baby.
Thanks for listening to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.